الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. أما بعد، أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. لإيلاف قريش، إيلافهم رحلة الشتاء والصيف، فليعبدوا رب هذا البيت الذي أطعمهم من جوع وآمنهم من خوف. صدق الله العظيم. We thank and praise Allah Azza wa Jalla on the most precious gift of Iman, the perfect teachings of the Deen of Islam, and this magnificent favor of the Quran Azim, in which there are directives, in which we find refuge for all situations, as we shall see in the surah that we look at today, contextualized in the present circumstances where many a people are gripped by anxiety, worry, fear, concern of poverty, etc. So in the surah that we look at today, Allah Ta'ala has given us great solace. This is the barakat and blessings of being linked to Allah's Habib, our beloved Master, Sayyiduna Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In this great surah, Surah Quraysh, that follows after Suratul Fil that we had looked at yesterday, the previous lesson. These two surahs are very strongly and greatly connected. In Suratul Fil, we see how Allah Ta'ala destroyed Abraha and his armies, who had embarked on the evil intention of destroying the house of Allah Ta'ala, the Ka'batullah Sharif, and Allah manifested his divine qudrat and power. And so Allah Ta'ala says, following up to that, this at the same time was a huge favor upon the dominant tribe in the Arabian Peninsula, the most superior of all tribes, the tribe of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Quraysh. The literal translation of the surah, Allah Ta'ala says, li'ila fi Quraysh, for the well-being, for the familiarity, for the perennial security and affinity of the Quraysh, for the perennial security and well-being of the Quraysh tribe, إِيلَافِهِمْ رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ, this perennial security and safety that Allah Ta'ala would grant to them in their travels, whether in the winter months or the summer months, a great favor of Allah Ta'ala upon them. So Allah Ta'ala says, therefore in response, they should see to it that they worship only the one Allah, who is the Lord of the sanctuous and the ancient house, the Kaaba Sharif, the very first place that sprouted on this earth when Allah Ta'ala had created. First there was only water. The first place to sprout forth was the Kaaba Sharif. Ka'ab means something which sprouts forth, and therefore the ankle is also called Ka'ab. So the reason the Kaaba Sharif, one of the, amongst many other reasons, the first place to have sprouted forth on earth is the Kaaba Sharif, therefore it is the focal, the central point on earth. So they should worship only that Allah who is the Lord of the sanctuous house, that Allah Azza wa Jal, الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعِ, who had granted them safety against hunger, who had secured them against hunger, وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفِ, and that Allah Ta'ala who had granted them complete security against all forms of fears and anxieties. As far as the meaning of the surah is concerned, Allah Ta'ala speaks about Allah Ta'ala's great favor upon the Quraysh in granting them affinity, perennial security. The surah commences with a letter, a preposition, li, which means for the purposes of, so obviously it is connected to something. The commentators give varying reasons as to what is it connected to. The most obvious is it is connected very, very strongly and intrinsically to the previous surah, that in the destruction of Abraha and his armies, this became a source of great perennial security and safety for the Quraysh. The Quraysh were the dominant and most respected tribe in the Arabian Peninsula. In general terms, and this was enhanced and became ever more so when the Arabs realized the destruction of Abraha on his way to destroy the Kaaba Sharif, the respect and veneration they had in their hearts previously from the Quraysh was enhanced tremendously because of this incident. And Allah counts this as a special favor to the Quraysh, amongst whom our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, to whom the Quran Kareem was revealed. Some commentators opine that it is connected to the word i'jabu, that are you astonished and amazed at the perennial security that Allah had given to the Quraysh in comparison to other tribes. And some opine that it is connected to the verses that follow, that in lieu of the perennial security that Allah has given to the Quraysh, they should reciprocate and respond and worship only that one great Allah, the Lord of the sanctuary house. In other words, because of the Kaaba Sharif, the house of Allah, Allah has given you this honor and esteem. So you, O the Quraysh, amongst whom Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was born, should accept his message and worship only that one Allah Ta'ala whom he is inviting you towards. Value and appreciate the great ni'mah of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Quraysh, as mentioned, the most venerable and esteemed of all the tribes of Arabia. In fact, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is reported to have said, speaking about his auspicious lineage, that from the time of Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam until Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, never was a single individual born out of wedlock. From Sayyidina Adam alayhi salam, over centuries of generations, until our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam, everyone in the lineage of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was born within wedlock. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam of all human beings enjoys the most prestigious, the most noble, a golden lineage. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that verily Allah had selected the Kinana, the major tribe of the Kinana, from the offspring of Ismail alayhi salam. And amongst the Kinana, Allah Ta'ala selected the Quraysh. And from the Quraysh, Allah has selected the clan of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Banu Hashim. And from the Banu Hashim, Allah Ta'ala had selected me, selected Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the most noble lineage, the Quraysh had outstanding attributes, leadership qualities. Therefore, Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had said that the Quraysh will be followed by people in matters of good, and if they turn towards evil, they would also follow them in those aspects. Outstanding morals and qualities, even in the days of Jahiliyyat, the perfect capacity to accept truth. And that is why the most noble companions around Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whom Allah had blessed with great leadership qualities, were from the Quraysh themselves. So who is and what is Quraysh, the major tribe? But this is actually the name of one of the forefathers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after whom the tribe is named. So we have mentioned that Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam enjoys the most pure lineage. If we look at the lineage of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam going upwards, it is as follows. And we will note at number 13 is a person called Fihr, whose title is Quraysh. So it is Sayyidina Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the son of Abdullah bin Abdul Muttalib bin Hashim bin Abd Manaf bin Qusay bin Kilab bin Murra bin Ka'b bin Lu'ay bin Ghalib bin Fihr. So at number 13 is a personality amongst the forefathers of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam called Fihr. Fihr's honorary title was Quraysh, and Quraysh literally meant a huge sea animal, a fish in the ocean that was the most dominant. It dominated over all other species in the ocean, and nothing ever dominated over it. So similarly, the Quraysh enjoyed that prestige, that honor within the Arabs. So Allah Ta'ala speaks about the perennial security and well-being that Allah had given to the Quraysh. This perennial security that Allah had given to them in their trade journeys during the summer or the winter months. The reasoning for this is that we know that Makkah was arid and extremely harsh terrain. So no food produce would grow inside of Makkah Mukarramah. The land was not suitable for that. Similarly, no fruit orchards were present. So the worry and concern is, what about sustenance? This was a worry from the very early days. The one whom Allah had chosen amongst others to build and rebuild the Kaaba Sharif, Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salam, Khalilullah, he had the same worry and concern of the inhabitants of those who would reside in the precincts of the Kaaba Sharif, and at that time already made dua. رَبِّ اجْعَلْ هَذَا الْبَلَدَ آمِنًا وَارْزُقْ أَهْلَهُ مِنَ الثَّمَرَاتِ. Two major points of well-being on earthly life, safety and security on the other, on one hand, and on the other has sustenance. So he said, Allah, make this city one that will be totally safe and secure. Allah Ta'ala accepted this dua that no bloodshed, even in the days of Jahiliyyah, the Arabs venerated the city of Makkah Mukarramah. And Ya Allah, grant its inhabitants fruits and sustenance, yujba ilayhi thamarat, that would be brought from various places. So because there were no apparent means of agriculture, Allah Ta'ala instilled in the hearts to travel, to go on trade journeys, to go and bring goods from the outside and take goods from Makkah Mukarramah and sell it. Two major points of trade at the time, one was Yemen, the other was Syria. So Yemen was an extremely hot place. They would go there in the winter months, and Syria was generally cold. They would go there in the summer months. So these are the trade journeys Allah refers to. رِحْلَةَ الشِّتَاءِ وَالصَّيْفِ. Allah had granted them absolute security and safety in their trade journeys in the summer months towards Syria, in the winter months towards Yemen. What Allah Ta'ala is referring to here, that in the days of Jahiliyyah, of ignorance, generally people who would travel would be overcome with fear. Bandits would loot them, would rob them, would sometimes murder. But if they knew that these are people of the Quraysh of Makkah Mukarramah, they knew very well not to lay a finger upon them, because they were the custodians of the Kaaba Sharif, and therefore they were given safety and security in the trade journeys. Allah made it even easier at some point. We have the great grandfather of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Hashim, who had instilled and encouraged the people of Quraysh to make these trade journeys. Such profits they would get that even the poor in Makkah Mukarramah would live to the standards of the wealthy. Allah made it even easier at a certain point, that in the areas of Yemen, Tabala and Harsh, where there was fertile agricultural land, sometimes the produce would be so much for the inhabitants of those areas, and then they would also come to the port city of Jeddah to trade and sell. So sometimes the Quraysh would even merely have to go a close distance to Jeddah to get all their needs and necessities. So this was Allah Ta'ala's special favor upon them. So Allah Azza wa Jal thereafter implores the Quraysh that these are Allah's favors upon you, so how should you reciprocate, how should you respond? فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ. Therefore, as a token of appreciation, of gratitude, of shukr, worship only the one Allah who is the Lord of the sanctuous house, the Kaaba Sharif. In other words, it is through this Kaaba that Allah had given you honor. So look at who is the Lord of that. It is Allah Ta'ala alone. So your response should be to worship only that one Allah. Appreciate this ni'mah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what he's inviting you towards. That very same Allah who has given you these two great favors, who has alladhi at'amahum min ju', who has given you food, sustenance, and therefore saved you from the fear of hunger, and Allah has given you complete safety and security. In your trade journeys, nobody would dare lift a finger upon you. Even those who traveled with the Quraysh were given safety and protection. Neither would people come in stage attacks on your city, the city of Makkah Mukarramah. They held it in high esteem in their hearts. So your reciprocation to these great favors Allah has given to you should be with shukr to Allah Ta'ala, channeling the favors of Allah in His obedience, accepting the message of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Very aptly for us, Allah Ta'ala says it another place in the Quran Azim. And genuinely let us contemplate on these favors. Allah Ta'ala says Allah has given the example, the similitude, مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً, of a certain locality, كانت آمنة مطمئنة, they led a life of complete safety and security, يأتيها رزقها رغدا من كل مكان, that the sustenance would come to them in abundance from many places, فكفرت بأنعم الله, however, they showed ingratitude, they showed na shukri to Allah Ta'ala for His favors, they channel Allah's given favors in his disobedience, what was the resultant circumstance? فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Allah Ta'ala made them taste the pangs of hunger and fear, in other words, anxiety, insecurity. So whereas there was an abundance of provision, it turned into hunger. Whereas there was safety and security, it turned into anxiety, worry, insecurity. Allah tells us the reason for this. Bima kanu yasna'un. For the reason that which they had done themselves, their own actions, their sins, their evil deeds, are what brought about these circumstances from Allah Ta'ala. May Allah Ta'ala protect us. And so as we can see in the surah, very beautiful words in which there is great solace of protection. And therefore, the ulama of tafsir and many others have mentioned this surah to be recited abundantly at the time of anxiety, worry and concern, the conditions that are upon us at present. So to read the surah and find refuge in it, Sayyidina Abu al-Hassan al-Qazwini has stated that one who fears an enemy or an affliction should read surah Quraysh abundantly. It will give him security from fear and calamities. Imam Jazari rahimahullah ta'ala also says that the surah has been tried and tested successfully for this purpose, in other words, for the purposes of protection from calamities. Qadi Thanaullah Panipati rahimahullah cites in his great tafsir, the tafsir Madhari, he says that his sheikh Mirza Mazhar Jane Janan instructed him to recite this surah at the time of fear and danger. So read the surah at the time of fear and danger, and then said that its recitation has been tried and tested to avert all kinds of calamities and afflictions. The student Qadi Thanaullah, who has compiled the great tafsir Madhari, says that he has experienced this many times in his life when there was fear, insecurity, calamities, and he read the surah abundantly. In it, Allah Ta'ala has put great protection. We also learn great lesson from the surah that our obedience to the commands of Allah Ta'ala, appreciation of his favors, is a great means of security, great means of being protected from hunger, from poverty, from insecurity. Bottom line is our amal and actions. So therefore, let us do sincere tawbah, genuine tawbah, istighfar, forsake haram and sin, and see how Allah Ta'ala will bring upon us favorable circumstances. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. We're on to the second part of our lesson, which is the reading from the great kitab Shawqi Watan, Desire for the Akhirah. In the first hadith we look at today under the topic, the blessings and favors that Allah Ta'ala has kept in store for a person who departs from this world successful, and that is on Iman in Allah and all that Allah wants us to believe in, and had led a noble and successful life in the obedience of Allah Azza wa Jal. Look at the great favors Allah has kept in store in that stage, Alamul Barzakh, the intermediary stage between death and the day of Qiyamah. That is a determining factor, a pointer to the eternal fate of a person. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala, when passing by a qabr or mention was made of death, would be moved to tears to such an extent that his entire beard would become wet and moistened with his tears. On being asked the reason for this, he says, I have heard Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying that the qabr is the first of the stages of the akhirat, and whomsoever is successful therein will be successful forever and ever. Before looking at the hadith, a very potent means of ensuring protection from the adab of qabr is to recite punctually Tabarak alladhi biyadihi al-mulk, Alif Lam Mim Sajda, these two great surahs every night. Mubarak habit of our beloved Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not to sleep without reading these two surahs. And at this time, when many of us would have ample free time, great opportunity to try and institute these habits and make it a lifelong habit with the will and tawfiq of Allah Ta'ala. The first hadith we look at today, an Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma min muslimin aw muslimatin yamutu laylat al-jumu'ah aw yawm al-jumu'ati illa wuqiya azab al-qabri wa fitnat al-qabr ولقي الله ولا حساب عليه، وجاء يوم القيامة ومعه شهود يشهدون له أو طابع. أخرجه الترمذي والبيهقي. Narrated by Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, any Muslim, male or female, who passes away on a Friday night or during the day of Friday, so we should have this desire that when our death comes, it comes in a good state, that we are in a state, obviously, of Iman, of obedience to Allah Ta'ala. Let it never be that death comes to us while I'm in the disobedience of Allah Ta'ala. That death comes to me at that moment when Allah is most pleased with me, and I am at the best in my relation with Allah. I am most desirous to meet Allah Ta'ala. The one who loves to meet Allah, Allah Ta'ala loves for that person to come to Allah Azza wa Jal. So one of those things we should also have a desire is to pass away night and day of Jumu'ah in the Mubarak city of our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or in the path of Allah Azza wa Jalla, striving for the cause of the deen of Islam. At the same time, virtue has also been mentioned about passing away on a Monday or the night preceding Monday. What we would understand Sunday night or Monday is also a virtuous death, from the point of view that our beloved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away on a Monday. So here we see night and day of Jumu'ah and the virtue of passing away. However, a very important point is that if somebody, apparently very adherent to the commands of Allah, does not pass away night or day of Jumu'ah, it does not in any way diminish or decrease that person. Sometimes comments are made, oh, that person missed the day or the night of Jumu'ah. This is a gift from Allah Ta'ala for whom He wishes with His infinite wisdom. So if one is blessed, we make shukr, we should desire it, make dua for it, and make shukr if one is blessed with it. But at the same time, does not diminish a person who does not happen to pass away night and day of Jumu'ah. So in the virtue of it, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, any Muslim male or female who passes away on a Friday night or during the day of Friday is safe from the punishment and trials of the grave. That person is protected from the punishment and the trials of the grave. That person will meet Allah Ta'ala without having to give account for the deeds. On the day of Qiyamah, that person will come in such a state that he or she will have a witness who will give testimony in favor of that person, or he or she will have a sealed testimony that will be a kind of asylum, salvation from adab and punishment. SubhanAllah, look at the great virtues Allah has kept in such a mubarak and an auspicious death. May Allah Ta'ala grant it to us. The hadith that follows thereafter, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma once again narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said, when a person passes away in a place other than one's birthplace or place of residence, then the grave is widened from the place of demise right up till the person's place of his domicile from one's hometown or place of residence. So here we learn a further virtue that a person sometimes passes away in a foreign land. Maybe a person has whatever noble purpose a person may have gone for in the path of Allah Ta'ala, or that a person may have passed away for the purpose, for example, having gone to unhalal rizq and sustenance, visiting relatives, for whatever noble purpose it may be. A person passes away in a foreign land, far and distant from one's place of residence, then in it there is also a virtue, that that person's qabr is widened from the place of death right till one's hometown. Now here sometimes a person has this aversion and this fear that I shouldn't die away from my hometown and home place, whereas we see in this hadith, it is known as al-mawt fil ghurbah, a person passing away in a foreign land has its own virtues and its benefits. Allah Ta'ala grants to whom He wishes. So from this hadith we see the virtue of passing away in a foreign land, which sometimes those who have love and attachment for the material world have fears about, but we see its virtue in this hadith. The hadith following thereafter, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, great and extremely knowledgeable Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who had the honor of being in the khidmah and very close and beloved to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, expert in Quran as well as in fiqh and jurisprudence. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhuma says that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that amongst all situations, arhamu ma yakunullahu bil abd. Subhanallah, look at the great mercy, look at the kindness, the generosity of Allah ta'ala. That of all situations, Allah ta'ala is most merciful to his servant. At which point, when that person is put into the grave. Subhanallah, how Allah is kareem, Allah is extremely generous. The time when a person, we are desirable, we are dependent on Allah Azza wa Jalla's mercy at any given split second. Every blink of an eye, every breath, we are totally dependent on the mercy of Allah. But there are certain times that one is even more dependent and desirous of Allah's mercy. And one of those is the moment a person is put into the qabr and that questioning is going to take place. And either it is a garden from the gardens of Jannah or a pit from the pits of the fire of Jahannam. So Allah Ta'ala deals most mercifully with his servant at which point? The point when a person is placed into the qabr. May Allah make us amongst those. The hadith following thereafter, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, cousin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had given dua because of his khidmat of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allahumma faqqihu fi ddeen wa allimhu ta'wil. O Allah, give him deep understanding of deen, the injunctions of deen, and O Allah, make him an expert, make him knowledgeable in the tafsir of Quran, and therefore he is counted as amongst the foremost in tafsir, the foremost commentators of the Quran Kareem, amongst them, Sayyidina Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma. So he says that Sayyidina Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, and here the virtue of dedicating oneself to acquiring knowledge of deen, becoming a talibul ilm, and thereafter serving deen in the knowledge of deen, teaching and imparting deen in its pristine and original state, whether in the form of Quran Kareem, whether in the form of maktab, whether in the form of being an imam, whatever it may be, this is the grace and fadl of Allah alone, and not of a person's own doings and desires, but this is a grace that Allah Ta'ala grants whom he wishes, and the virtue of the knowledge of deen, and that person whom Allah blesses it to, may Allah Ta'ala make us truly amongst those. We have many, many shortcomings. So what does Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam say in this hadith? When an alim of deen passes away, and that alim is placed into the depths of the qabr, Allah Ta'ala gives the knowledge of that person that he had dedicated many years of life to acquiring deeni knowledge. At that point, that knowledge is given a specific form and shape. That form and shape that the knowledge has translated into becomes that person's friend and companion and remains with that person as an affinate companion in the qabr till the day of Qiyamah. So it is in the form of a very compassionate friend at the time when a person will be lonely in the qabr. And secondly, that knowledge becomes a means of removing vermin and pests and the various insects, etc. within the qabr. Sometimes Allah Ta'ala blesses that person who was a sincere alim, that Allah Ta'ala protects the body of that person. In the commentary, as Mawlana Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahimahullah Ta'ala says, if the vermin and insects, etc. of the world are meant, then this may apply to a special alim. If the vermin and insects of the akhirat, the period between death and resurrection, and which we cannot see with our naked eye of this world, then in that sense, every person, every alim whom Allah blessed the knowledge of deen could be implied. There have been many, many instances of great pious people having been buried, and for some reason or the other, the qabrs were opened up many, many years later, maybe purposes of reburial or floods, etc. And it was found that years later, the body of that alim had remained protected in a fresh state. There's the barakat and the knowledge, the barakat and the blessings of having secured in the bosom the knowledge of Quran Kareem, having memorized the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a grace, just as Allah Ta'ala many times has given this honor to the pious, to the martyr. So through the barakat of the knowledge of deen, many a person are granted this. A very important lesson for us is to keep ourselves linked to a pious alim, an alim who lives and practices the sunnah, an alim whose objective and focus is the akhirah, that alim who does not compromise the injunctions of Allah Azza wa Jal, We keep ourselves strongly linked to such a pious alim living and practicing the sunnah externally as well as internally. It is a means of protection of our deen. This is how knowledge has come down to us. And many a times in history, when the enemies of Islam had made efforts to de-Islamicize Muslim communities and populations, then one of the prongs of attack was to create a rift, to create a distance between the general masses and the ulama. So very important that we get ourselves linked and attached to a pious alim, once again, whose objective and focus is the akhirah, lives and practices the deen externally, internally, does not compromise the injunctions of Allah Azza wa Jal in our link and attachment. In that link and attachment, many times it has been seen the protection and the salvation of our iman. Allah Azza wa Jal give me, all of us, tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Just a word of note, inshallah. Tomorrow's lesson will pertain specifically to the many virtues of the 15th of Sha'ban, Laylatul Bara'ah, as well as the special actions that we should involve ourselves in, how we can spend one of these great nights of the year as fruitfully as possible. Inshallah, tomorrow's lesson will be dedicated to those advices. Wa akhiru da'wana and alhamdulillah.